Heavenly Father, I just pray for all of us here, and just pray that we would receive the peace and the goodwill from you, Lord, that you wished upon us and upon your people, and just pray that we could carry that to our neighbor. And I just pray for Stephen here, Lord. May your Holy Spirit rest upon him, fill him. May he have peace in his heart and confidence, and just help him to articulate the thoughts and the message he has for this morning. I pray that we have listening ears and that we could act in obedience to the word this morning. And I just pray a blessing on the service, and just pray that it would set us off on a good foot for this next week. And just pray that the time we spend with each other would be deep and meaningful. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Chris, for that prayer, that empowerment of the Spirit of God. What a privilege it is to be able to live in the light of the Spirit and to walk with the Spirit. I was recently privileged with that thought of living with the Spirit of God. If the Spirit of God rests on you as a dove, you know, as it rests on my shoulder as a dove, I'm not going to jump off this stage because the dove might fly away. I'm not going to live in such a way that the dove is going to fly away. So thanks for that encouragement, Chris. What a privilege. As you see this Christmas season, as you think of the names of God, and we have up here behind me the names of God. I don't know how well you can read them. Those are some of the names of God, the descriptions that are given to God, our God, the one we worship, the one, the Most High. He's our Father. He's our Lord. Beginning and end, the Anointed One, God of knowledge, the God Most High, everlasting God, the God who sees, God Almighty, the Creator, I Am. Is that your God this morning? Is that the God you serve? Especially want to highlight the one, the God who sees. That was a name that was Hagar used when Abram told her she had to leave because she was going to have a son. And Sarah did not enjoy that she was going to have a son. So she was told to leave. And as Hagar went out into the desert and sat under a little tree, a little shrub, she used this definition of God, the God who sees. And it's a beautiful thing to think about that, the God who sees you. As Chris mentioned, you know, this time of year with all the family gatherings, with all the things that happen in our lives, if there's been pain this year, if there's been loss, we think about it. And it's a beautiful thought to think, you are the God who sees me. The God who sees what I'm going through. You are the God who knows exactly what I'm facing. You are the God who's looking down at me. And in my mind, as I picture God, the God who sees me, I picture someone way off in the distance looking at me. That's my mind picture of that description of God. And I'd like you to hold that thought, that mind picture of God who sees. Is that the God that you serve? Is he that God? He's way off there in the distance. Yes, he sees me. Yes, he knows all about me. He knows all about what I'm going through. He sees it. Yes, that's true. He does. But there's a reality of Christmas, the reality of Jesus, which makes it much more personal than the God who sees. And if you want to flip to the next one, the God who sees, as Jesus came, this is the season we're in. This is a scene, as you all know, the manger scene. If you'll notice, the picture of Mary is of a young very young person. And I believe that's what it was. But Jesus came. And as you think of Jesus, is he the God who sees? Is he still the God who sees? And if you would put up the next one. Is God the God who sees? As it says in Matthew, Emmanuel, God with us. So not only does God see you, not only does God see what you're going through, but God tells you he's coming. He's coming to be right with you. God with us. Emmanuel, God with you. Isn't that a beautiful, beautiful truth? As Jesus came to earth, and the name Jesus, Yeshua, means one who saves, one who rescues, one who restores, one who delivers and heals. Emmanuel, God with us. As we go through this season, as you go through the different phases of this season, of all the food and the fun and the people, all your relatives that you get to see, those that you get to leave, as you enjoy intemperance, in moderation, all the good food till you're almost groaning, but you stop before you're groaning. As you enjoy that, remember Emmanuel, God with us. What does it mean that God is with us? What does it mean to you? What kind of a God do you have? Do you have the God who is out there who sees you? He's looking at you. Yeah, he sees what I'm going through. And it is true, he does see that. That is true. I don't want to minimize that, that God is not seeing that. But I want to invite us to see God with us. God with us, walking through every situation in this season. Every step of the way in this season of our life. Emmanuel, God with us. What does it mean that God's with us? It means that he is going to be there when I need him. I can put him off to the side because I know he's here. He's right here beside me. And whenever I need him, I'll ask him to help me. Is that God with me? Yes, he is with me all the time. And there's a sense where that is true. There are times when you cry out to God in ways that you don't at other times. So there is a sense where he is here beside me, and suddenly I realize I need him that much more. One example would be, well, last night, for example, suddenly my wife and I sensed the demonic attack. And that's what it was. Satan was trying to destroy us and cause us to fear. We knew God's right beside us. So did we fear? We were tempted to fear, but God was, he wasn't just beside me, he was right in me. And because of that, God with me, God in me, God through me, and because of that, there is no need for fear. So the reality is he is with us, and make that with very personal. As you think of the birth, and as you think of the birth of Jesus, as you think of how it happened, how there was a virgin, a young lady who had never experienced a relationship with a man, and God came over her. God was with her. And he put his divine seed in her, and she was able to carry this little baby. Carry him for 9 months. And he was born. And now he is born for the whole world. And she called his name Jesus, which means God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. The rescuer, the healer, the restorer. God with us. What a privilege And that is found in Isaiah 7, verse 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. What a privilege. What an awesome privilege. So who is God to you? Who is Jesus to you today? Is he a distant, far-off God, or is he close beside you? Is he inside you? Not just beside you. You can use so many descriptive words about Jesus and the privilege we have of knowing him. But the privilege of having Jesus living on the inside so that nothing can destroy us is such a beautiful thing. As you think of the humility of Jesus, as you think of his humility in coming to this earth, as you think back to all those names of God, what he was, what he is, all those names that talk about his greatness, his power, his might. He left that perfect world and came down to a very imperfect one that we had made that way. And he came down to live with us and to live as one of us so that we can see that it's possible to live like he does. He came to live that way. He came to be right with us so that we could see it's possible to live in this broken world. It's possible to live in this world of sin and not fall and not be destroyed. It's possible to live in this world and not be defeated by Satan. It's possible to live in this world through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's possible to live here and experience the privilege of attacking the gates of hell. Do you know that's a privilege? Do you know that's a glorious privilege this morning? You as believers, all of you who are sitting here who have the Spirit of God in you and who have life in Jesus in you, you have the privilege to destroy hell for a living. Isn't that glorious to know that God is with us? He has given us that real power, that real life inside of us. That's why he didn't stay in heaven and just call down to earth and say, I'll pour out my power on the earth. He came down to live and to be a part of us and to be one with us and to show us it's possible. It is so possible to live on this earth, this broken earth, this broken world, and to live in the reality of victory and hope and joy, this season of peace. He came to proclaim peace, and that's one of his names, is peace. He came to bring peace. He came to restore things, and I love how he talks in John 14, in verse 18 and verse 20, about being in us and not going away from us. And that's what he came to do. I'm just going to read John 14, verse 18 and 20. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, this is in the context of the Holy Spirit coming. But as you think of the Holy Spirit, as you think of God and you think of Jesus, they're all one. They're all uniquely one. And Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. At that day, ye shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Jesus said, I'm going to be in you. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to be inside of you, and I'm not going to leave you alone. That's what his heart is for us, and that's why he came to earth, Emmanuel, God with us. He came as Emmanuel to establish his kingdom, to set up his kingdom. And we don't have time this morning to study all the different aspects of the kingdom, the privileges of being in the kingdom, but Jesus came to establish his kingdom here on earth, to show us what it looks like to live in kingdom reality, to show us what it looks like to live with the reality of kingdom, his kingdom here on earth. And that's what he's calling us to do in this time, in this world today, is to live out his kingdom. That's another part of his humility, is to live out the kingdom of Jesus. And we do that as we live in the humility of Jesus, as we walk in that humility, as we live with that reality that he is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Where is Jesus this season for you? Is he with you? Is he your close friend? Is he real to you? Is he on a shelf somewhere? Or is he close to you, inside of you? And you might say, it's impossible for him to be inside of me. When I look at myself, it's impossible. He can't be there. I'm just not good. I'm not good enough. I can't be good enough. And that's true. You can't be good enough. But he came to make you worthy to live inside. As you open up your hands, your heart to him, and you say, here I am. I take whatever you have to give. You know, Mary, before she became pregnant with Jesus, had to do that. She could have said, when the angel came to her, she could have said, no, this is too much. This is just too much for me. I can't do this. People are going to think I'm a terrible person. People are going to think terrible things about me. I'm going to be an outcast in my family. Nobody's going to love me. Nobody's going to like me. What did she do? She opened up her heart to God and she said, God, whatever you want. Whatever you want, God, here I am. Here I am, God. And that's the position that God can then enter us and fill us. And we might think we're unworthy. But you know, in Revelation, it talks about being worthy before God. Not because of how good you are, because of who you are, but it's because of him. It's because of him that you are worthy. Worthy to walk in his light, in his way. Now, as we think of the humility of Jesus, leaving all those things, all those beautiful things, we think of heaven as a very beautiful place, and it is. We think of heaven as being this place where there's no evil, there's no sickness, there's no sin, there's no suffering. And Jesus left all that to come and to live among us. The humility of Jesus to do that. So what's our response to him? What's our response to his humility? As we look at the humility, as we look at who he is, what is our response to him? How do you live in that same humility of Jesus? How do you live a humble life? What is humility? There's been many definitions of humility. And one of the words for humility used in the Bible, one of the meanings is to lessen the strength or activity. So sometimes in the Bible where it talks of humility or being humble, it means to lessen the strength or activity. So as you think of yourself and you want to be humble before God, it means you lessen your strength. You remove the activity that you are doing to try to please God. You remove your humanness in the situation and you say, it's all you, God. I'm going to live with your power, with your strength. Lessen the strength of yourself. How do you do that? Oh, I got to reach inside here somehow and get more of me out. It's impossible. I can't get more of me out. But Jesus can. Jesus is so good at filling spaces. He comes, when we say yes to him, he comes and he fills that space, our heart, with himself. And out of that reality flows the strength that we have. Humility is not a fruit of the Spirit, I don't believe. Now, maybe somebody will tell me that different afterward. That's fine. But I don't believe humility is a fruit of the Spirit. But humility is more of a posture before God, where we place ourselves before God in subjection to him. That's a big word. Where we place ourselves open before him. Here I am, God. Here I am in this place. Humility is a choice. You have a choice to make, whether you're going to be proud or whether you're going to be humble. And you know, Satan just loves when we're proud. He does. And he keeps bringing that to us again and again and again. You know, you did something good. You got a right to be proud of this. And you lift up your heart just a little bit in pride. And that's different than being thankful for a job well done. That's different than being thankful to God for strength, for life, and living life with joy, and being satisfied with what's being done with your life. But when your heart is lifted up, I think it was at the tent meetings this summer, there was a message about that. When you receive that bouquet of flowers, that praise, or that feeling of something well done, what do you do with it? Do you hold it tight to yourself? Or do you give it to God, hand it off to God? It's a beautiful thought. It's not wrong to get praise. It's not wrong to receive that feeling of satisfaction for a job well done. But remembering that I'm living in his presence, with his strength, I'm living with his humility. The humility of Jesus. If you'd put up the next slide. What is the name that is above every name? Jesus. Jesus is a name above every name. As you think of the humility of Jesus, he took upon himself the form of a servant. And he looked like you and me. He acted like you and me. Did he? Did he act like you and me? Just think about that for a moment. Did Jesus act like you do when he came to this earth? As a little boy, did he act like you do? Or did? Jesus came with that normal human body. And now he has received a name above all names. He received that name when he was born, Emmanuel, Jesus, Yeshua, the one who is the rescuer, the one who is the healer, the restorer, the one who has come to bring heaven to earth. And that's what he did. He restored. As we realize Jesus is the name above every name, and that he is in us, that he's not only out here far away, he's not only a spare tire in my trunk when I get a flat, he's not only a spare tire, he's not only my doctor when there's sickness, but he is inside of me all the time. And as he's inside of me all the time, he's changing me from glory to glory, changing me into his image and into his likeness. Now, how are you going to live out humility? How are you going to live out humility in this season? Is it possible for you to be humble? Now, you're going to get a bunch of gifts this year, maybe, if you were good. No, if you have lots of friends. Or it depends what your tradition is. Is it possible to be humble as you give gifts? Is that possible, to live in humility this season? Are you going to be able to do that? And if so, how? How are you going to do that? How are you going to live a humble life? Now, just pretend you do it for 1 week. No, do it for all of your life. The life of humility is the best place to be, because we recognize then, and we then promote the kingdom. If you want to put up the last one. How are you going to live this life of humility? As you live the kingdom, the only way is by looking at the lighthouse. Jesus is that lighthouse. The only way you're going to live in humility is if you look at Jesus. If you look at yourself, oh, I'm doing a terrible job. Or, wow, that was good. I can really do this. I'm really good at this. I am so good at this. I can really do this. I got the perfect gift. They're going to be so happy. And because of that, my joy level is going to go up about 20% or maybe 100% from 0 to 100. The only way you're going to live a life of humility is by looking at the lighthouse, which is Jesus. Jesus came to show us what it looks like to live in humility. And when you look at Jesus, when you look into his face, when you see his face and what he looks like and what he actually is, you can live in that place of humility. You know, when I turn away my face and I look at other things, my picture of Jesus doesn't immediately disappear. I still see him. In my mind, I still see him. But the longer I turn away from Jesus, the longer I turn away from his face, the less clear his face becomes. That's why Jesus so often went into a place with his Father. So often. He went into that place alone with his Father and he talked with him. He let his Father talk to him. This season, as you live in humility, go into that place with your Father. Who is your Father? Do you know who your Father is? Another reason that Jesus could live in humility was because he knew who his Father was. He had no question in his mind who his Father was. He had no question. Who is your Father this morning? Who are you representing? Jesus came to show you how to live in humility through this season. He came to proclaim it and demonstrate it. And the verses that are there talk about the kingdom coming to this earth. Kingdom of humility. A kingdom that is promoted through humility. What a privilege. What an honor we have to live as Jesus did. Remember the humility of Jesus. As you live your life, remember, he is your hope. He is your everything. Jesus came to proclaim it and to show you how to live it.